and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Parpedo's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Gloves champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out the average fans has a different insight. So if you'd like to impart, you can. Here's the toll-free phone line. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. We've got a two-hour show, of course, 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, of course, Channel 217. I keep going and going. Of course, Vive TV, the new Vive TV network, got that rock and roll with WBC TV. So we're all over the planet as far as video and audio is concerned. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next 2 hours, I hope to bring you a nice story about the end of Manny Pacquiao. We'll hear about Manny Pacquiao. Of course, Manny Pacquiao got old overnight. No, he didn't get old overnight. That's what somebody said to me. He got old overnight. The last time he looked pretty good. Well, the last time was 2 years ago. And when you're 41 or 42 years old, he's 42 years old. When you're 42 years old and you're a paid pugilist, guess what? It could be here today and gone tomorrow. Straight up, that's what happened to Manny Pacquiao. As last night he was beaten by, I don't want to say an average fighter, but an ordinary fighter, Yordi Urgas. We'll talk about that in depth. We're bringing in Kenny Rainford, lots of things to talk about, and we'll hear from Manny Pacquiao as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you knew that.
Across the nation, keep it from catching honky pop,
honky pop.
When you get the notion, Tower's got the potion, you might begin to
set yourself in motion.
Man, if you thought Manny Pacquiao lost by the scorecards, I'll readdress that. If you thought Manny Pacquiao's fight with Yordi Urgas last night was close, you're wrong. Bottom line is, Urgas ran away from it. He just ran away from Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is talking about cramps in his legs, things like that. Bottom line is, he was 42 years old. I mean, here's a guy that turned professional in 1995 at 106 pounds. I mean, more power to him. He's been around a long time. When I met him, 2001, he had one jogging suit to his name. He was a champion here in town. I think he was fighting Agapito Sanchez. Of course, Sanchez bit him or butted him. I mean, Sanchez was the dirtiest player in the game. In fact, had Marty Denk had not been the referee that night, it might have been a bad night for Manny Pacquiao. But anyway, bottom line is, when I met him that first day, it was like a couple days before the fight, he was staying at the Holiday Inn on 8th Street here in San Francisco, and I went into the bathroom. I was going to use the bathroom, went into the bathroom, and he had one little Manny Pacquiao jogging suit hanging in the bathroom. That's all he had to his name. I mean, he had no money. Basically, he was the IBF, I think, 122-pound champion at the time, having beaten the Duaba in an upset earlier. But the bottom line was, nobody knew much about Manny Pacquiao, but they were going to use him and the fact that he had a big Filipino base to sell tickets here in San Francisco, because Floyd Mayweather was in the main event, and Floyd couldn't sell 10 tickets maybe. Well, Floyd could sell 10 tickets if his family bought tickets. Not too many people want to buy Floyd Mayweather tickets. Yeah, I know, he sells out this and he sells out that, but for the most part, he's not doing the selling. Most people are coming to see him get whipped. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Anyway, bottom line is, Manny Pacquiao now 62-8, a couple of draws, 39 KOs. Mr. Ugas, not a very good fighter, just an average fighter. And here's what's in size. Size matters in two things, remember? pornography and combat sports. This was combat sports. So size was a big thing here. And when you give up 4.5 inches or 4 inches in height to a Cuban, and Cubans have got all these little different boxing quirks and tricks and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, so it's like, yikes, you're trying to solve all these different problems at the same time. And I just think that Manny Pacquiao bit off way too much at the age of 42. And, of course, losing last night, the scores were 116-112 twice. That's 8-4 in rounds. Maybe that's close to the reality of it. And one judge had it 115-113. Patricia Jarman had 7-5 in rounds. That's a little closer than I think the fight was indicative. Bottom line is, here's Manny Pacquiao post-fight.
Assess your performance tonight against Yordanis Ugas.
My performance right tonight is not really 100%. Because it happened the second, third round. I have a cramping my both legs. I cannot move. So if my legs is not hurt, I can outbox him by, you know, moving past side by side. But it happened that my legs stuck. So
you've had that issue before, Manny, but not at age 42. How much was age a factor tonight?
Big factor, but you know, it just happened that my legs are cramping tight. So
it was hard to make adjustments against Yordanis Ugas tonight. Do you regret taking this fight on short notice?
I'm not regret that. It's boxing. I'm a fighter, so that's boxing. It happened that way.
How will this performance influence your decision to either come back to the ring or retire?
Right now, probably thinking about retirement.
What is it about tonight?
I don't know. I'm not closing this. It's not a percentage. 60-40.
There's also a political career for you that awaits you, but you've given boxing fans over 2 decades of your life. What's your message to them if this is your final hurrah as a fighter?
I want to thank the fans, boxing fans, for always praying for us, supporting us. And I know that there's a lot of fighters, young fighters right now. I think what I have done in boxing, at least I contributed a record in boxing history for how many decades.
Manny, I want to thank you on behalf of all fight fans for your over 2 decades, the 8 titles you won in different weight classes, for fighting the best over every weight class that you were in, 5-time lineal champion. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
Figure Manny Pacquiao to win the next Philippine president, no doubt, presidency, no doubt about that. Of course, President Duarte and him are going back and forth. Manny says, what happened to the millions upon millions of dollars we set aside for these vaccines, for the coronavirus vaccines? Of course, nobody's getting them in the Philippines. Less than 10% of the population has been vaccinated. Speaking of vaccinated, I want to mention this before we go to the break. You know, not getting vaccinated is sort of like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. You know, you're going to land, but how are you going to land? Bottom line is, if you take the vaccine, for the most part, you got a chance of not dying. And there's friends of mine that have died, and I can mention them, Eddie Cotton and people like this, that wish they had the vaccine. This was a year and a half ago. He wishes he had the vaccine. People wish they had the vaccine. The people have passed on. The people have had their lungs destroyed and this and that. So I'm imploring everybody out there to please go get vaccinated. Now, back to Manny Pacquiao real quick. There's never been a fighter, or there hasn't been a fighter since Muhammad Ali that has the worldwide impact that Manny Pacquiao has. Yeah, I know Mike Tyson's, you know, scared people in 160 countries and this and that. But Manny Pacquiao was the humanitarian of humanitarians. He just was. I mean, a congressman, a senator, and he's going to be soon president of the Philippines unless Duarte has him killed. And Larry Merchant says that's not a smart thing for Duarte to do. But President Marcos killed Ninoy Aquino when he stepped off the plane in the Philippines, coming back from the United States to challenge him for the presidency. So it's not beyond Philippine presidents to whack out their opposition. So what I'm trying to tell Manny Pacquiao is that you probably should tread lightly and probably have yourself a good American security force. When I say American security force, the reason why I say that is You don't want these guys getting compromised over there in the Philippines, getting bought out and this kind of stuff, because the bottom line is that's the way you penetrate people's executive protection details. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Not writing Manny Pacquiao off in like, you know, he was horrible last night. I mean, he just wasn't even palatable last night. I guess that's the way to put it. He wasn't horrible, but he wasn't palatable either. And to watch him struggle like that against a guy that, and I'm not knocking Yordi. Yeah, I am knocking Yordi. Yordi, I don't think, could have won the Golden Gloves here. I'm sorry. I mean, bottom line is I didn't think he was that good of a fighter, in or out of the ring. And, you know, the bottom line is size matters, and he was a bigger welterweight. He stood about 3.5-4 inches taller than Manny Pacquiao. When you stand that much taller than a guy, and the guy's old to begin with, in other words, old guys like David Tua. Remember David Tua, the throwing Samoan? I called him when he got fat, the slowing Samoan. Why? Because he was like 5'10". Like Mike Tyson, 5'10". In order to fight those big dudes, he had to double jab his way in and close the distance. But when he was 210 pounds, he could do that. But when he was 225 pounds, he couldn't do it. Okay, bottom line is, age and weight came back to haunt Manny Pacquiao last night. Hey, I'm not trying to say rest in peace, but he's been great for the game. There's no doubt about it. But who will be the next Philippine superstar? No need to donaire. Of course, he's living in Manny Pacquiao's like rearview mirror for a long time. He is the current WBC 118-pound champion, having taken that title on quite an upset a few months ago at the age of 38 years old. But Nonito Donaire, the Filipino Flash, not quite Manny Pacquiao, the Rage. I mean, Manny Pacquiao, give him what he give, say what you want about him, but the bottom line is at the end of the day, he gave it his all every time out. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. WBC TV, of course, WBC TV as well, coming to you live on Vive TV, the Vive TV network. Of course, I want to thank the Jackmans, both Danielle and John Jackman. Of course, John Jackman was on last week's show. You can check that out on the archives. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Just like you said you would. Hey, I know that enough is enough.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. If you don't want to spoil our sympathy, don't change horses in the middle of a stream.
Giddy up, hi, oh yeah. Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
With so much uncertainty, just play it safe. I mean, if you are vaccinated, still you have to be cautious and wear the mask. I mean, there's no hurry. We have lived a great life, and there's so many happy moments ahead in everyone's future. Just let this pass, be intelligent, get your vaccine, wear your mask, protect your family, protect your loved ones, your friends, and we will together make it out. This is so unfair to have someone go through a process and then the guy next to you ignore it and then be bound to go to a hospital and die. Mm. So many beautiful, dear people who did not have the option to have a vaccine passed away. Okay. So many people have suffered all over the world. We should all work together, and if you have a different belief, then okay, but stay home. Don't go out and don't be part of the continuation of a new wave.
Mauricio Suleiman, president of the World Boxing Council. Of course, the WBC sponsors the show, and this is WBC TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, on the undercard last night, a couple of old guys going at it, probably Rocky versus Rocky, but neither guy could punch. Rocky Stallone, I'm talking about the movie character, of course, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky Balboa. But the bottom line is, Robert Guerrero, I'm going to say he deserved a win last night, no doubt about that. 37-6-1 now, 20 KOs. Of course, the former champion at 126, 130, 135 pounds. He won titles at multiple weights. Of course, the big upset over Andre Berto put him in the spotlight and put him in a position to fight Floyd Mayweather a few years ago for some big money. He made the big bucks. He came back in a comeback fight last night against Victor Ortiz. And Victor Ortiz is famous for getting sucker punched by Floyd Mayweather. Of course, he fouled Mayweather and then dropped his guard and got sucker punched as a counter effort from Floyd. And of course, I thought it was righteous. A lot of guys thought it was just a cheap shot. I didn't think so at all. Bottom line is, if a guy fouled me and then dropped his hands, I'd crack him. Anyway, bottom line is, Victor Ortiz, I interviewed him, I guess, about, I would say about 2004. I mean, to maybe 2008, somewhere around there. It seems like a long, long time ago. It was at the San Jose Civic Auditorium, or no, the San Jose Arena. And I was talking about boxing because he says, I don't know if I want to be in this a long time. I don't know if I want to be. He was holding a piece of ice up to his head. I don't know if I want to be taking these punches, kind of punches, this and that. Well, when it comes to Victor Ortiz, it's not hard to outwill Victor Ortiz. That's just it. If you can outwill him, you can beat him. In other words, talent-wise, he's got good talent. He had good talent in his prime, no doubt about that. But he didn't have the will to win. He didn't have the will to sit down and dedicate himself and go 1,000% at it. You know what I mean? Like screaming about a few bruises from a four-round fight back in the day. Come on, man. If you're bitching and crying about four-round fights, you're probably not going to make it at the 12-round level. And, of course, he did fail when he finally stepped up to do the 12-round level, the championship rounds. Bottom line is Robert Guerrero. The kid from Garlic Capital of the World. When you drive down Highway 101, you can smell Gilroy, California. I kid you not. I mean, a lot of times you can smell, like, for the cow manure and things like that when you're going down the highway in California. But Gilroy has a unique smell because it is the Garlic Capital of the World. And it smells nothing but garlic, no doubt about that. Looks like Oscar Valdez, one of my favorite guys, of course, the WBC 130-pound champion, the Linear World 130-pound champion, unbeaten, the Olympian and a WBA 126-pound title holder, September 10th. He's going to take on a guy that he fought in the Pan Am Games. It's going to be September 10th in Tucson, Arizona on ESPN. Bob Arum will be promoting that. And I'm going to get a little bit later into the fact that it's been 40 years since Wilfredo Gomez and Salvador Sanchez. And most of you have heard about Salvador Sanchez, the Mexican legend. Of course, he died when he ran into the back of a chicken truck. And that's a terrible way to die. I mean, you're going to go out like Richard Pryor's father, you know, sex. He came and went at the same time. Or like Sonny Liston, he came and went at the same time. But the bottom line is Salvador Sanchez was driving down the road at 120 miles per hour, and he rear-ended a chicken truck. I mean, the truck was transporting chickens. And he ran into the back of the truck. I mean, almost just decapitated himself, of course, I was told. Semi-decapitated himself, of course, in his accident. It took place in 1982. The fight in 1981, of course, that was a mega fight. They called it the Battle of the Little Giants. Here was Sanchez. He had lost once. I think he had one draw. And he was coming against Wilfredo Gomez, who was like 33-0 with a draw and 32 knockouts. Gomez was his big favorite, his big betting favorite. I mean, he was like 2.5, almost 3-1 favorite. Everybody was expecting Gomez to smoke him like a blunt. Because, you know, I mean, come on, Sanchez didn't look that physically imposing. And Wilfredo Gomez had been knocking everybody. I mean, he took Carlos Zarate, the world bantamweight champion, who was considered one of the greatest bantamweights of all time, and he made him fold in like 2 or 3 rounds. So Gomez was a heavy favorite with his heavy hands coming in. Puerto Rico versus Mexico. They had the salsa band on one side of the ring, the Puerto Ricans with the salsa band, the mariachis on the other side of the ring, of course, with Salvador Sanchez. And, you know, so we went to the weigh-in that morning, and I knew something was amiss because, you know, people were looking around this and that, and I said, what's going on? This was, oh, we're waiting on Wilfredo Gomez. And I said, why will we be waiting on him? He should be here. I mean, it's 8 o'clock. He should be here, right? 8 o'clock's the weigh-in. So Gomez comes down and gets to about 8:15, Hector and I are there. We got up a little early that morning. I was in the police academy at the time, the SFPD police academy. We cut school that Friday. I cut school that Friday and went to the fight. So we wake up this Saturday morning, and they have the same day weigh-ins there in the morning, and Gomez isn't coming down. He's a little late. I'm saying to myself, what's going on here? You know, this guy should be like down here in Sanchez's face and all this kind of stuff, really trying to get some psyche in over Sanchez. Bottom line is he showed up about 8:30. And he had a concerned look on his face. In other words, it wasn't like a tough look or anything like that. A macho look. He had a concerned look on his face. Well, the concerned look on his face was the fact that the clown was 4 pounds overweight. I mean, like Hector Martinez, he went to bed at weight and woke up 4 pounds heavy. I don't know how these guys do it. They know what time it is, but still they did it. They do it. He went to bed at 126. The guy I know put him to bed at 126, and he woke up at 130, and he had no food. So evidently he was sipping water in the bathroom. He sipped enough water. I mean, 4 pounds, like half a gallon, a little bit more than half a gallon of water. But the bottom line is Gomez came in at 130, never actually made the 126-pound limit that day. This was for the WBC 126-pound title. El Presidente Jose Suleiman realized he was struggling, and I think he waved it off at about 128 pounds. So when they entered the ring that night, Gomez was still a prohibitive favorite, and it was down from 3-1 now to about 2.5-1. And Gomez was looking, his biting down on his mouthpiece, and, this, and Sanchez is over there. You know, sort of, Sanchez sort of reminded me of Popeye. I mean, just like he couldn't get, you know, not too heavy about any of this stuff. And all of a sudden, bang, the bell rang, and Popeye came out, and Popeye started popping that jab. And he popped the jab a few times, and, you know, Mexican fighters aren't really known for throwing jabs. I mean, being consummate boxers, they're thought to be sluggers with the hooks and this kind of stuff. But Sanchez was different, obviously. And being the 126-pound champion, the featherweight champion, the guy that took the title from Danny Little Red Lopez, who I never thought a whole lot of, but he beat Lopez up not once but twice. I mean, here he was in the first round. He cracked Gomez with a right hand and a left hook, and I don't know which one it was, but it broke one of Wilfredo Gomez's orbital bones. And he broke his orbital bone, so he had like a broken face. So Gomez fought. He got knocked down. So Gomez fought from the first round, I think, to the eighth round, and was stopped with a broken face, which is commendable or stupid, one or the other. Our bottom line is he must have been in hella pain, no doubt about that. But it was a competitive fight. They went back and forth. I mean, Sanchez was winning the fight, but Gomez was there. He was in the fight. He was in the fight. Okay? Come the eighth round, fight was over. No doubt about that. You knew who was going to win, Salvador Sanchez. Of course, we watched him go to the press conference afterwards. And I remember looking at his dressing room. And because, you know, he would die a year later. So this was like special to me. And I was looking at his dressing room afterwards. In fact, we took the name. It said Salvador Sanchez and the star, you know, on his dressing room. We took that down. Somewhere we lost that. I don't know where that happened. Maybe somewhere I moved. But that piece of boxing memorabilia, I didn't collect much. But I had that. And I think that was lost. But the bottom line is we followed Sanchez to the post-fight press conference, you know, through an interpreter. He said that, you know, Gomez was a great fighter and this and that. But we didn't realize that this would really be the crowning moment for Salvador Sanchez, because we always expected bigger and better things. In fact, at the time of his death, I believe in September of 1982, he was scheduled to fight Juan Laporte in a rematch, and he was figuring he was going to win that after he had beaten the Puerto Rican once. And then he was going to hook it up with, guess who? Alexis Arguello at 135 pounds. This was going to be a mega event, no doubt about that. Nicaragua against the explosive thin man from Nicaragua against the bad dude, the pound-for-pound champion, of course, at the time. That's what they considered Sanchez when he beat Gomez, the pound-for-pound champion, because Gomez was the pound-for-pound king. I mean, you can't be 33-0 with 32 knockouts and like a champion with like 15 defenses and knocking everybody dead, including the world bantamweight champion, Carlos Zarate, who was highly regarded, no doubt about that. You can't do that and not be the pound-for-pound best. So Gomez got taken out by Sanchez. That made Sanchez the pound-for-pound best in all of boxing, of course. But I think he had one fight after that with Azuma Nelson, and, of course, the scheduled fight with Juan Laporte. None of that stuff ever happened. Do I think he was as great as people think he is? I mean, you know, sometimes when people die, we seem to glorify them in a manner that we probably shouldn't have, or maybe we exaggerate in this net. But I don't know if you can exaggerate, really, about Salvador Sanchez, because what blew me away about Sanchez was he never got tired. You just look at, he never showed he got tired. And to me, he just looked like he never got tired. I mean, he just looked like he never got tired. I mean, he had the most perfect stamina, and his chin was down the whole 9 yards, nice boxing stances. And I don't want to say the perfect boxer, but he got it done. And he was the pound-for-pound king when he died, and he ran into the back of that chicken truck back in 1982. May God rest his soul. Of course, the great Salvador Sanchez. 40 years ago last night, and then, of course, today, we're flying home. Hector Martinez and myself are flying home. Now, you got to realize we don't get a whole lot of sleep in Vegas, especially after a fight, right? We're young guys, and anyway, bottom line is we get to the airport. It's like 11 o'clock a.m. flight, so we get on the flight. We're on the flight, and then we're flying home, and, you know, we've had a few drinks and this and that last night before and things like that, and all of a sudden, it was the worst air turbulence I've ever been in my life. The plane was going side by side. It was rocking. It was going up and down. I was screaming, I was freaking out. Okay, Hector Martinez is like next to me. He's sweating. There's sweat coming down his face. I keep telling you, the whole flight was freaking out. We all thought we were going to die. The flight attendants, they thought the same thing. One of them came back to me and said, sir, you need to be quiet. You're scaring people. I said, they should be scared. We're going to die. Bottom line, because the plane kept dropping, turning the side. Anyway, finally, Hector's holding my hand. He's sweating. He's freaking out. The plane finally lands. Listen, we can't wait to get off the plane. As I'm getting off the plane, the stewardess says to me, that was the worst flight turbulence I've ever had in 35 years of flying. I'm thinking about retiring. That's how bad it was. Kid you not, Gomez Sanchez, 40 years ago last night. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. 1-800-259-9999.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near power pedos, full steam ahead.
Never bragging when you're telling the truth. Of course, I went into the Times Square gym in New York City and dazzled Don King. I kid you not. I dazzled him. He said to me, you can box. You can fight that good, Pedro. Yeah, I can fight that good. I sparred. I won't say who. There was a couple of guys I sparred with, one being Saul Mambi, and that didn't go too well for Saul Mambi because I had all kinds of respect for him, and I didn't want to throw any punches, and it was like boring and this and that, but the bottom line is we did go around together in the Times Square gym. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, I mentioned Oscar Valdez earlier. Of course, the Mexican Olympian, 29-0 now, 23 KO. September the 10th, going to take on Robson Conceição. That's come to us from Brazil. He's 16-0 with 8 whacks. I think Conceição beat him in the Pan Am Games a few years back. Bottom line is Oscar is pound for pound one of the better fighters in the world, no doubt about that. I mean, the knockout of Burchelt, he was a 5-1 underdog in some sports books, 5-1 underdog, and he took Burchelt out. I mean, never lost, didn't lose a minute to Burchelt. Burchelt came in at 37-1. Bottom line is at the end of the day, I think pound for pound, Oscar Valdez deserves to be on that top 10 list. Now, Manny Pacquiao, a loser last night. I'm getting some texts here. I think he'll come back. You know, why does he want to come back? If you look at the video of the ESPN interview that I aired earlier, if you look at the video, I mean, he looked like somebody beat him with a club. I mean, he beat him with a club. He was lumped up all over the place, wearing sunglasses. I mean, this is sort of reminding me of fighters in the past, you know, when they the reason why they put on the sunglasses, they really don't want to look reality in the face. So they put on these sunglasses. I mean, we know they've got busted up eyes or swollen eyes and this and that, but they put on these sunglasses so they can hide from reality just for a second. And I think Manny was trying to distance himself from the reality of the fact that he got beat by a guy that was a lot less than him. I mean, Yordi Urgas. We're not going to see Yordi Urgas in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. I can almost bet my life on that one. Okay, there's no doubt about it. Maybe in the Cuban Boxing Hall of Fame, but not in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. So why Urgas deserves his win last night, no doubt about it. I think the scores were 116-112 twice. That means 8-4 in rounds. And then 115-113 was 7-5 in rounds. Of course, Pat Jarman had it close. But that means one round the other way. She'd have had that fight a draw. That wasn't a draw. I mean, he just ran away from Manny Pacquiao after about the third or fourth round. It was just like all Ugas, round after round after round after round. It was a Cuban. Of course, that difficult style, you don't want to fight those guys. But if you do, you brought that on yourself, no doubt about that. Now, I got some clips coming in here off the Twitch.tv page where I thought Victor Ortiz took a dive against Mayweather. No, Victor's the guy that, like I said earlier, you can he's scared. I think he's one of those guys that's scared. He didn't like getting hit. I mean, he's in a boxing game. He's telling me on like a live HBO international feed down there in San Jose, yeah, I don't think I like this. Oh, yeah. Bottom line is he didn't like it. And if you can impose your will on Victor Ortiz, you can beat him. Anyway, Robert Guerrero, more power to you, because I've always thought you were the biggest overachiever in the history of boxing. I mean, the fact you won the belts and the divisions that you did, the fact that you were able to beat Berto, I give you props on that one. But outside of that, you know, what have you done for me lately? Beating up on Victor Ortiz last night is not a recommendation or a roadmap to a comeback. I don't think so. Anyway, second comment coming in here from Robert Daniels says, Gomez, like Donald Curry, never really excelled at the higher weights. Well, Gomez fought Rocky Lockridge, 130 pounds. It was probably one of the worst decisions in the history of boxing. The WBA threw that one. That was a bad, bad call. I think it was in Puerto Rico. I mean, Rocky Lockridge licked Wilfredo like a stamp, okay? And somehow they gave it to Gomez. I mean, I was like, ugh. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're watching. I remember I was watching a fight with my uncle. And my uncle said to me, he goes, and he was Puerto Rican, and he said, Gomez didn't win that fight. I said, I know he didn't win that fight. He goes, they robbed that guy. Yeah, they did rob him because they robbed Lockridge over there. And, you know, it happens. But the bottom line is Wilfredo Gomez, not the greatest fighter in the world, pound for pound, not after 122 pounds. Once he burst that bubble at 122, the bottom line is at 122, he was bigger and badder than everybody else. He was stronger. He was like a gorilla. Come right through. I mean, what he did to Zarate, he should have been arrested. If they were gay, he would have been arrested for domestic violence. That's how bad he beat up on Carlos Zarate, the reigning linear 118-pound champion who stepped up to 122. And actually, you know, when they clashed, it was an even fight. I mean, that's how much they thought about Zarate. And Zarate got literally, like, destroyed in three rounds. So Wilfredo Gomez and Salvador Sanchez, I just can't get away from that 40 years ago last night. I just can't get away from it. As far as Donald Curry is concerned, I saw him fight Mike McCallum. And I bet big money on Mike McCallum. I don't bet on fights. I never bet on fights. It's probably maybe less than a half a dozen fights I've bet on in my entire life. And that was one of them. And I remember telling my stepfather, "You go, who do I bet on?" I said, "You bet on McCallum." He goes, "He's a 2.5-to-1 underdog. What are you, crazy?" And this and that. I said, "No, you got to bet him. You got him." So I sent him to the sports book, and he laid my bet down. But he didn't lay his bet down or my mother's bet down. I said, no, you got to go back. You got to go back. No, I don't feel good betting against 2.5-to-1. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I implored him. I forced him to basically almost force him to go back. He went back. He put 250 on him on McCallum at 2.5-to-1. 2.5-to-1 underdog, and he put 250 on him twice. He did once for him and once for my mother. So after the fight, he was the handicapping expert of all time, my stepfather, Mike Ramirez. You sure heard him. He was talking smack there in Vegas, blah, 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 collecting his money at the line. You know, this line's pretty short here. Not too many people thought Mike McCallum would win. I thought, anyway, bottom line is he had a wonderful weekend. It was a great weekend, no doubt about that. But it was 1987, and Mike McCallum, July of 1987, the entire family was there in Las Vegas when McCallum came up with that left hook and just knocked Donald Curry into another time zone. Now, Donald Curry lost his welterweight title to Lloyd Hunnigan. Okay, Hunnigan's not a bad fighter, but he wasn't the greatest fighter of all time. Bit of a head case. But Hunnigan lost to Jorge Baca. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's two guys I could have beat. Three guys. Rene Jacot, Juan Koji, and Jorge Baca. Jorge Baca was a catcher. I mean, you want to talk about, I'm serious. I could close my eyes and hit Jorge Baca. I don't know how he beat the guys he did. Maybe he was so ugly that he just scared them to death, because he was a hideous looking guy. Just Jorge Baca was. Of course, the one time I had Baca on a card, we did him in Carolina. Was it Carolina? Carolina, Puerto Rico, or Bayamon, Puerto Rico, with Hector Camacho. Camacho came out, and of course, he was all coked out. I told you about that. We had to get Camacho to the arena. He didn't want to come. He's snorting cocaine back at the hotel. He's not going to fight. And we've got this arena half full of people, and they're Puerto Ricans. They're going to be upset if we don't deliver the main event. Outside of that, they told me, if I don't deliver Camacho, I'm not getting paid. Say what? Yeah, I've been there like for 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, I've been to Puerto Rico, and Harold comes to me and says, Pedro, man, Camacho don't want to come. What do you mean Camacho don't want to come? He's the main event. He don't want to come. He's all blowed out at the, and Harold knows something about blow. The late Harold Smith, he knows something about blow. So anyway, he goes, he's all blowed out. Anyway, we finally got, Camacho to the arena. Camacho ended up butting Jorge Baca in the very first round, I believe. And the fight ended in the second round. It was no contest. But at the end of the day, Camacho showed up. He made an appearance, but man, Jorge Baca? I just can't believe that Jorge Baca beat Lloyd Hunnigan. I can't. And then Hunnigan beat Curry in the end. So when I look back at Curry, I think that Curry was a bit of a fluke. I don't think Curry was ever as good as people think he was. I think the opposition that he faced was limited. I just think it was limited. In fact, that he was a world welterweight champion, but not much. He did beat Mel McCrory. I was there for that. Hector and I went down for that. It was a good fight. That was, of course, in Las Vegas. We were sitting in the first row for that one. And bang! Lenny was down there as well. But the bottom line is, I think it was a second round knock, he took out Milton McCrory. So Milton McCrory, of course, was the WBC champion from 147 pounds out of Detroit, Michigan. Of course, the Kronk Jim, one of Emmanuel Stewart's fighters, one of Emmanuel's killers, no doubt about that. And speaking of Milton, I saw him a couple years ago. He's still working still in Motown at one of the auto factories. So he still had a good union job, and he seemed lucid and things like that. You know, he's like 170 pounds, well-built, this and that, but one of those guys that got out of the game at the right time. You know, you stick around too long, Manny Pacquiao, you want to be president. I don't need you taking a whole lot more punishment. You took enough last night. Just walk away. Let it go. I mean, you know, somebody said, let him fight a YouTube guy like Floyd Mayweather. What does that mean? You want to fight me? Come on, be serious, man. Just let the great Manny Pacquiao ride off into the sunset and remember him for what he was, the greatest fighter in the history of boxing since Muhammad Ali. And when I say the greatest fighter, I don't mean like pound for pound, he could have murdered everybody and that kind of good stuff. I mean the greatest fighter. And when I say fighter, I want to incorporate what he did outside of the ring as well. Of course, Manny inside of the ring, 8-division champion, 5-time linear champion. I mean, holy cow, who can eclipse that? Nobody has. Not even that guy from the, you know, that guy Mayweather. Not even him. I don't like mentioning his name much. Anyway, but nobody's done for Manny, for the game of boxing, what Manny has done and done for people, what Manny has done, of course, since Muhammad Ali. Ali was the goodwill ambassador to the world. Manny Pacquiao is a goodwill ambassador to his people in the Philippines, and you got him, give him props for that. When he was building houses a couple of years ago, people thought it was a publicity stunt. He was doing it out of his own pocket. Now, I don't know if it was a tax deferral or some kind of stuff like that, but the bottom line is he was spending his own money. He built an entire track, almost a little village of homes for people that didn't have houses. I mean, how many fighters do that? They don't. I mean, Roberto did some stuff. Duran did some stuff charitable-wise down there in Panama and this and that. And certain guys, Chavez did a lot in Mexico. But nobody's really stepped up with their own money like Manny Pacquiao has. So at the end of the day, pound for pound, maybe he wasn't the greatest fighter of all time, but, man, he was the greatest. You know what I'm saying? Our era, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, the fact he roared through guys and he beat guys he wasn't supposed to beat. Miguel Cotto, he and I still, when I talked to Cotto in Cartagena, Colombia, a few years after he lost to Manny Pacquiao, I asked him, how did you lose to such a small guy? That's what I was basically selling to him. Because, you know, again, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. So I asked him, how could you lose to him? I couldn't fathom it. I just couldn't fathom a guy starting out at 106 pounds, fighting guys at 145 or one, that was a special fight for that one, special weight for that one, a catch weight between him and Cotto, 145. I think that hurt Cotto a little bit. But the bottom line is, Cotto said he's never been hit that hard ever. And he'd been hit from guys that weigh 175 pounds in the gym and things like that. So Manny Pacquiao was a special athlete. He was a great man. He's done good things for boxing. He's done good things for the Philippines. Now he can sit back, relax and sort of concentrate on his political career, because I think he will be the future president of the Philippines. And if he isn't, it'll be a bit of a shame, because I don't know anybody as popular as Manny Pacquiao in the Philippines. No way, no how. Next week, David Benavides, the heir apparent to greatness. Is he? I think he's pretty close to it, man. I really do. I think when you look at David Benavides, undefeated, of course, the former WBC 168-pound champion, lost that fight basically on the scale and having substance abuse issues, but he's never lost a fight. He's taking on a guy that's very tough in Jose Uzukintai. Uzukintai will come to fight, but he's probably going to come up short, because Benavidez, as I said, is the heir apparent to greatness. When I mean greatness, I mean the super middleweight greatness. Of course, Caleb Plant now, he was the 21 in zip or something like that, undefeated in 20-something fights. Of course, the WBA title holder, going to take on the linear world 168-pound champion. I talk about Canelo Alvarez, Saul Alvarez. That's going to go down November 6th. I think the date's set. I think they're going to do it in Vegas. They're leaning towards Las Vegas for this one. Of course, Vegas hosted the T-Mobile Arena, I believe, hosted Manny Pacquiao and Yordi Urgas last night. So I guess they're ready for big times in Vegas. But this should be a mega event, no doubt about it, a mega event. You know, you want mega events in boxing. We really need mega events in boxing. That's why we need the best to fight the best. And unfortunately, you know, Manny Pacquiao, had he fought Errol Spence last night, it might have been real ugly. It might have been so ugly that Manny Pacquiao would have been laid out, stretchered, unconscious, that kind of good stuff. So it's sort of cool that we didn't have to see Manny Pacquiao get destroyed last night. We can let him walk away wounded. Better to be wounded than slaughtered. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you live on WBC TV, coming to you on the Veeve Network, no doubt about that. We come to you live 7 days a week at iHeartRadio.com, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217, live, of course, two shows. And we're going to go to a break right now, as this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Come on over here, man. He's been here before. He done broke records here before. He's a legend of the sport, and it'd be my honor to fight him next.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. But somehow you know there's much more to the trip. What is hip? Tell me. If you think you know. What is hip? If you're really hip, you're passing the years for show. You in a hip trip, maybe hipper than hip. What is hip? Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The Fab Four, the Beatles. Time to talk birthday time, of course. Want to mention Don King turned 90 this week. More power to the godfather of boxing, boxing promoters, not about that. Who also? Bill O. Historian Bill O'Neill, of course, from South San Francisco. He turned 59 or 60 this week. And, of course, Mrs. Cuddy, may she rest in peace. We'll talk about Beverly Cuddy, Scott Cuddy's mother, and his brother, Brad. They both had birthdays this week, and so birthdays to everybody. May they rest in peace, and may the people still on the planet enjoy their birthday today, tomorrow, and every day. Make them all birthdays. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Somebody shot me a text here. If you think you can beat Vaca, who else do you think you can beat that was a world champion? I think I could beat Juan Koji. I think I could beat Rene Jacot. Those are three guys right there. I think I would have licked like a stamp. Pound for pound, of course, Sal Alvarez coming back to, November the 6th against Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant, I'm going to say not the best guy in the world. Gennady Golovkin seems to be missing in action. I mean, here's a guy that's only lost one fight. He lost that fight to Canelo Alvarez. That was close. And, of course, and then they had the draw. And they had the draw before that. So he's had the two Mars on his record were both with Canelo Alvarez. Now, why don't they want to do it a third time? I know that Canelo was sort of against that. I never understood that. Why didn't Canelo want to fight him a third time? Did Canelo want him to get that old that he'd be like Manny Pacquiao last night? Who knows? But the bottom line is Gennady Golovkin, we're not hearing a whole lot of him. He needs to get active. Of course, everybody's saying, well, the pandemic, forget the pandemic. Earl Spence should be back in action in about 3 months. Evidently, his eye will take about 6 weeks to heal. Of course, minor surgery on his eye, not a detached retina, but minor surgery on his eye. So Earl Spence Jr. should be coming back. Of course, 27 zip. He is the 147-pound king, no doubt about that. Pound for pound. 147, he's a king. Manny Pacquiao, Yordi Urgas, they were sort of fighting for a fraction of the version, another version of the title that really wasn't the linear championship. At the end of the day, Manny Pacquiao's an icon, but he's toast. Stick a fork in him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA, WBC TV. Next up, hour number two, we bring in Kenny Rayne for Boxing's Ambassador of Goodwill from the UK. Of course, everybody's favorite sparring partner, trainer, manager, you name it. Kenny Rayne for exclusively. We're here on WBC Boxing TV and hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the news right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio Channel 217.